You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. The Apostle John was one of the greatest apostles in the Bible, and he had many church crises that he had to deal with time after time after time. And he had a formula that he used to give his people, a formula for spiritual success that he just taught over and over again to those people to turn them around from some of the deepest spiritual misery into the very pinnacle of success. It is, I believe, one of the most profound spiritual lessons in all the Bible, and it can apply even in a secular way as well. If you understand the prophecies of John, you'll see where he said that you could take this formula and use it today, anytime in the history of God's people, and it would turn your life around. If it had somehow unraveled and you'd gotten away from God, then he would tell them about this success formula. And it always worked, and he kept building on that time after time. So even if you've never really known God, you still can take this formula and lay a real foundation to your spiritual life. But it also, in principle, applies in a secular way as well. So John faced some of the greatest crises ever in the church, and he had to teach his people how to avoid turning away from God, or if they did turn away, he would do everything he could to keep the ones who were loyal to God on track spiritually. And he did a marvelous job of that. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, the Epistles of John, and the Book of Revelation. Each one of them talks about this formula that I'm going to give you today. Every single book he wrote mentioned it several times. And I think the emphasis there is in the Bible for a very, very good reason. So anybody can benefit from this principle, whether they're looking at it spiritually or, as I said, in a secular way. I want to start where there was an entire church era that was in the deepest crisis. And it was the era that John was in and the era that Jesus Christ himself raised up. And John had to, well, he was around longer than the other apostles, much longer. The rest of them had already been martyred. And he was around to do some teaching, and Christ had personally taken him and taught him in a very special way for the job that he had to do. So he had a long history and a long time to preach and teach this principle. Notice Revelation 2 and verse 1 says this, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works." You see, God knows our works. He knows your works. He knows my works. He knows. And that's what he was telling the Ephesus era. And he goes on to say, "And your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love." You've left your first love. You've gotten away from that excitement and that thrill of being a part of God's work and knowing the truth of God. You've lost that. And he said now in verse 5, "Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works." Do the first works, the works that gave you that first love. Like two young people who are about to get married, and they're excited and thrilled. They're in that first love. And God wants us to be that way. And he wanted these people to be this way because they were preparing for a marriage to Jesus Christ. And John concludes by saying, "Or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent." Now this was the very era that John was in. And he says, now I want you to get back to the first works. Think about your lives when you began and how now they've changed. And you're not really hungering and thirsting for the truth of God as you were then. And that's just a problem that is quite common to God's people. Remember that time, though, and remember what you did at that time and how you conducted yourself spiritually. Here's another quote from 2 John, verses 5 and 6. "And now I beseech you, lady, or the church, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning." We had this from the beginning. Think about what you had in the beginning. Think about this spiritual success formula that John is giving them. "That we love one another, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments." This is the commandments. See, walk after his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Then he concludes that as you have heard from the beginning, he repeats it again, from the beginning, you should walk in it. You should walk in it. See, remember the way it was in the beginning. Remember that first love. And John was saying that, look, you're faltering. And if you've been in a spiritual mode and you begin to falter, or your life begins to sort of unravel and you have difficult problems, John says, think about those first works. Think about the first love. And don't ever forget that. Again, John writes in 1 John 2, verses 13 and 14. He said, "I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." You've known him, that is from the beginning. "I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." See, we have to overcome the wicked one, it says in Revelation 3 and verse 21. If we're going to be able to marry Jesus Christ and help him rule the world, we have to overcome the devil, who is the god of this world, if we're going to marry Jesus Christ. That's what he says to his very elect. "Overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning." You've known him that is from the beginning, the very beginning. This is a lesson for spiritual Israel, but it's also a lesson for the nations of Israel, which happens to be primarily three nations of the 12 nations of Israel, which is America and Britain, and the Jewish nation in the Middle East. And of course, we've offered our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy many times to explain that to you. But how blessed has America and Britain been in their past history? Do you understand that? And why were they so blessed? Well, did you know that when the Pilgrims came to America, their goal was to establish the very rule of God on this earth? That was their goal of all things. Who ever heard of such a goal as that? But they had that as their goal. Now, you know, we need to remember that history because there is a lot of spiritual principles in our Constitution that were taken right out of the Bible. We need to know about our history. You think about how we've been blessed and all the technology that Britain and America has and the Jewish nation has. And here we have America, the world's number one superpower. And do you know what our number one worldwide business is? It's pornography. That's our number one export. The number one superpower in the world, whose goal in the beginning when they came to America, the people in that early history had as their goal, they wanted to be ruled by God. And how do you think God would think about that message, our main message we send to this world, what would God think about that? I think anybody that knows anything about the Bible would be much beyond appalled by that. Did you know that even some of the terrorists that attacked America did so because they hated our vile culture, as they called it, from time to time? Osama bin Laden certainly said that. And when the Soviet Union was very strong, somebody asked the Japanese who they really feared. And they said, well, militarily, the Soviet Union or Russia. But they said, culturally, we fear America the most. They didn't like our culture, and for good reason. Now, if you want to look at the second number one export that we have, well, it's music, and much of it is depraved. Let's be honest. It is that. And this is what we're exporting to the world. The people who began, if they could just get back to that beginning, about when they wanted God to rule them. But do you think America wants that today? Do you and I think that? I think we have a sick culture, and God Himself calls us. You can read it in Isaiah chapter 10 and verses 5 through 7. He calls us a hypocritical nation. And that's a pretty strong view that God has of Britain and America. Pretty strong view, I would say, from about the world's number one superpower. But you see, our number one message is not about God. Our number one message is about pornography. In reality, that's the way it is. We may say it's otherwise. We may talk about freedom. But that pornography in itself is slavery in ways that we can see is causing our people to have great, great harm brought into their lives. And I think anybody that understands deeply what this is all about, and that porn actually powers the internet, mainly coming from the U.S., and anybody who understands that surely would have to be made a little sick about what has happened to this land. It's not the way it was in the beginning. It's not the same way. A foundational part of our Constitution is about the Bible and Bible principles. And many experts will tell you that we're really destroying that Constitution very rapidly. Now, when you lose the Constitution, what do you have? Well, you don't have law. You have lawlessness. And you have all the evils that brings to a nation. Is God blessing America? He does promise that. Is He blessing America? We have a debt over $17 trillion, which is the greatest debt ever created in the history of man. And it's a debt we can never, ever pay. Is that a blessing from God? I don't think so. How about the weather? We've even heard people mention that this is the worst weather we've had, winter we've had in a long time. Is that a blessing from God or the opposite? We're legalizing drugs. We're doing all kinds of things. And God says that we need to get back to what we did in the beginning, our first works, what we did from the beginning. That's what we need to get back to. Notice what it says in 1 John 3 and verse 8, "He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning, for the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." So if you understand about Lucifer and him being the covering cherub over the throne of God, and then he was taught by God and then sent to this earth to rule over this earth with about a third of the angels, And they failed because he would not submit to government. And John says, now look, learn a lesson from what happened to Lucifer. From the very beginning, his first rule, he did not like the government of God and decided to rebel against the government of God, which had been ruling in the universe for all eternity up to that point. And it had always worked beautifully. And here this covering cherub that learned right there at God's feet, as it were, and yet when he was sent out to apply those principles and those laws to rule the earth, he couldn't do that. And so God decided then, well, I have to recreate myself in man. Only I can rule the universe and the earth. And so he decided to recreate himself in man. Can you do that through pornography or through depraved music? Can you? John goes on to say, there's another verse, you can read it yourself, 1 John 2 and verse 24. It talks about continue in the Father and in the Son as it was from the beginning. He's telling them to get back what Christ taught them when he was on this earth. Notice that you can also read verse 11. It says about the same thing. But notice what it says in verse 1 of 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The word of life. John is reminding them that this word that came down from God was God and the Word in heaven, northern heaven, heavens. And one of those gods, the Word, came to this earth and was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And John, the apostle, is saying, well, we handled him and we touched him. And he was on this earth. He was God in the flesh. And he came and he died for our sins, like pornography and wrong thinking, wrong culture. He died for our sins. Get back to that beginning. I'm telling you, we talked to him. We touched him. We spent time with him. Now that seems to me to be something we need to think about, because we are all facing some serious problems in what the Bible calls the end time, the last end that we're in at this time in our history. John was the only New Testament writer to designate Christ as the Word. You can see that in John 1 and verse 1 and verse 14, 1 John 1 and verse 1, and Revelation 19 and verse 13. Let's go to the Gospel of John, and it says about the same thing. But notice, this is what John wanted them to remember and never forget. Verse 1 of John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God the Father used him to make and create everything. So John is saying, look, let's get back. Let's get God's perspective on this. What does God think? See it the way God does. And it's all so wonderful and thrilling and exciting that it's just hard to fathom how wonderful it is. We have to study and prove all of these things so we can get back to the way it was from the beginning. That's the only way we're going to avoid disaster spiritually or physically or any other way. But here was God and the Word, and one of them came to this earth as the Son of the living God. And you know, if you look at that history up until the time Satan rebelled, as I said before, there was nothing but happiness and joy and eternal harmony between these two gods. Their government worked perfectly. It's the only government that ever has, and it's the only one that ever will. John keeps working them back to this big overview of what we all need to learn. And I mean learn it fast, because we're facing just a multitude of problems in this world, and you can see them as well as I can. We can all see them. Lucifer and the angels were created first. See that it was God and the Word, and then the angels were created. You can see they rejoiced when the universe was created in Job 38. And that didn't work out, and so God then recreated Himself in man. That's what His purpose is on this earth today, to recreate Himself in man so that we can rule this earth and bring it peace and joy and harmony and love and every thrill that you could imagine that is good. Every single one. God knew that only He could rule, so He had to recreate Himself in man to make that happen. But John kept leading the people back to the very beginning of time, the big overview. And from that beginning, there was no failure. For all eternity up until that creation, there was nothing but peace and joy and prosperity and love. That's all there was. And when Satan rebelled, well, for the first time, the universe was introduced to hatred and violence and a way of life that always ends in catastrophe, always, never fails. But you see, we've lived in a world full of failures from the very beginning of our history. And we can't really imagine, well, how could it really be a peaceful world and one full of happiness and peace and joy and rejoicing and abundance? How could it be that way? We've never seen that. Well, we're about to see it. We're going to have to go through some pain and agony to get there, but it'll happen very quickly. And Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth, and He's going to rule it God's way. We've had our opportunities and we've failed in every one of them apart from God. You see, Lucifer became Satan because, well, he wanted another government. He didn't want God's rule. He didn't want God to rule over him. And now I want to show you just quickly what He's promised and prophesied about His church in the end time, in this last lukewarm era of His church. Talked about in Revelation, John discusses this same subject again. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. So here is the end time church of God. He talks about the beginning of the creation of God. Go back to the beginning. You see, that's what His lukewarm church has lost. The beginning. Go back to the beginning of the creation of God and see what happened with Lucifer and the angels, and all of that failed. It failed in a horrible way, where there's no more hope for these rebellious angels. It's a different story for the righteous ones, but there's no more hope for these rebellious angels. Go back to the beginning of the creation of God and capture that vision again. He's prophesying this for us today because He knew we'd have Laodiceans in the end time as He had in the first century. He knew that would happen. I mean, this is the big overview that God wants us to get. And if we can get this overview from the beginning, I mean, from the very beginning and the way it was and how there was such majesty and harmony and peace and everything good up to that point. Go back to that and see what happened to those people that didn't want to be ruled by God, that didn't want God to direct their lives. Go ahead and see what happened to them. Now that's the big lesson that God wants us to learn. That's the success formula. From the beginning, it's the most profound lesson I think you'll find in your Bible. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
Request our two free books, The Last Hour and John's Gospel, The Love of God. The Apostle John lived in the midst of a savage persecution. Many of God's churches were being taken over by traitors. When he wrote his epistles, John thought it was the last hour before Christ's second coming. In fact, it was only a type of our time today. Every detail of what John prophesied is now being fulfilled. John's last hour epistles are mainly for God's end time church. John gives the formula for spiritual success. You can know and apply this same formula in your life today. Request our two free books, The Last Hour and John's Gospel, The Love of God. Also, be sure to request a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Don't miss this month's issue, which features Gerald Fleury's lead article, The Ukraine Crisis Was Prophesied. For a sneak peek at this month's Trumpet magazine, as well as articles and Trumpet daily videos, please visit us online at thetrumpet.com. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. To watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.